We continue now with The Wonders of the Holy Name by Father Paul O'Sullivan. Do you believe, do you understand that God loves you so much, that he loves you so intimately, so personally? He has done still more, for he has made over to us all his infinite merits, so that we can offer them to the Eternal Father as often as we like, 100, 1,000 times a day. And that is what we can do each time we say, Jesus, if only we remember what we're saying. You are perhaps surprised at this wonderful doctrine. You may never have heard it before. But now at least that you know the infinite wonders of the name of Jesus, say this holy name constantly. Say it devoutly. And in future, when you say Jesus, remember that you are offering to God all the infinite love and merits of his Son. You're offering him his own divine Son. You cannot offer him anything holier, anything better, anything more pleasing to him, anything more meritorious for yourself. How ungrateful are those Christians who never thank God for all he's done for them. Men and women live 30, 50, 70 years and never think of thanking God for all his wonderful love. When you say the name of Jesus, remember too to thank our sweet Lord for his incarnation. When he was on earth, he cured 10 lepers of their loathsome disease. They were delighted and went away full of joy and happiness, but only one came back to thank him. He was very hurt and said, "Where are the other 9? Has he not much more reason to feel grieved and hurt with you and me, who thank him so little for all he's done for us in the incarnation and in his passion? St. Gertrude was wont to thank God often with a little ejaculation for his goodness in becoming man for her. Our Lord appeared to her one day and said, "My dear child, every time you honor my incarnation with that little prayer, I turn to my eternal Father, and I offer all the merits of the incarnation for you and for all those who do as you do." Shall we not then try to say often, Jesus, 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 sure of receiving a like wonderful grace? The second meaning of the word Jesus is Jesus dying on the cross, for St. Paul tells us that our Lord merited this most holy name by his sufferings and death. Therefore, when we say Jesus, we should also wish to offer the passion and death of our Lord to the Eternal Father for his greater glory and for our own intentions. Just as our Lord became man for each one of us, as if that one were the only one in existence, so he died not for all men in general, but for each one in particular. When he was hanging on the cross, he saw me, he saw you, and offered every pang of dreadful agony, every drop of his precious blood, all his humiliations, all the insults and outrages, for me, for you, for each one of us. He has given us all these infinite merits as our very own. We may offer them hundreds and hundreds of times every day to the Eternal Father for ourselves and for the world. We do this every time we say Jesus. At the same time, let us wish to thank our Lord for all he has suffered for us. It is appalling that many Christians know so little of this holy name and all that it means. As a result, they're losing every day precious graces and forfeiting the greatest rewards in heaven. Sad, deplorable ignorance. The third intention we ought to have when saying Jesus is to offer all the masses that are being said all over the world for the glory of God, for our own needs, and for the world at large. About 500,000 masses are celebrated daily, and we can and should share in all these. The Mass is Jesus. He once more becomes man, renews the incarnation in every Mass as really as when he became man in his mother's womb. He also dies on the altar as really and truly as he died on Calvary. The Mass is said not only for all those who assist at it in church, but for all those who wish to hear it and offer it with the priest. All we have to do is to say reverently, Jesus, Jesus, with the intention of offering these masses and participating in them. By doing this, we have a share in all of them. It's a wonderful grace to assist at and to offer one mass. what will it not be to offer and share in 500,000 masses every day? Therefore, every time we say Jesus, let it be our intention to offer to God all the infinite love and merits of the Incarnation, to offer to God the passion and death of Jesus Christ, to offer to God all the 500,000 masses being celebrated in the world for His glory and our own intentions. All that we have to do is to say the one word, Jesus, but knowing what we're doing. Saint McTilde was accustomed to offer the Passion of Jesus in union with all the masses of the world for the souls in purgatory. Our Lord once showed her purgatory, open, and thousands of souls going up to heaven as the result of her little prayer. When we say Jesus, we can offer the Passion and the masses of the world either for ourselves or for the souls in purgatory or for any other intention we please. We should always, too, offer them for the world at large and our own country in particular. We can ask for everything in the name of Jesus. The angels are our dearest and best friends and are most ready and able to help us in every difficulty and danger. It is most regrettable that many Catholics do not know, love, and ask the angels for help. The easiest way is to say the name of Jesus in their honor. This gives them the greatest joy. They, in return, will help us in all our troubles and keep us safe from many dangers. Let us say the name of Jesus in honor of all the angels, but especially in honor of our dear angel guardian who loves us so much. Our sweet Lord is present in millions of consecrated hosts in the countless churches of the world. During many hours of the busy day and during the long nights, He's forgotten and left alone. We can do much to console and comfort Him by saying, My Jesus, I love and adore You in all the consecrated hosts of the world, and I thank You with all my heart for remaining on all the altars of the world for love of us. Then say 20, 50, or more times the name of Jesus with this intention. We may do most perfect penance for our sins by offering the Passion and Blood of Jesus many times each day for this intention. The precious blood purifies our souls and raises us to a high degree of holiness. It's all so easy. We have only to repeat lovingly, joyfully, reverently, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If we're sad or downcast, if we're worried with fears and doubts, this divine name will give us a delightful peace. If we are weak and wavering, it will give us a new strength and energy. Did not Jesus, when on earth, go about consoling and comforting all those who were unhappy? He's still doing it every day for those who ask Him. If we're suffering from weak health, if we're in pain, if some disease is taking hold of our poor bodies, He can cure us. Did He not cure the sick, the lame, the blind, the lepers? Does He not say to us, Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will refresh you? Many could have good health if they only asked Jesus for it. By all means, consult doctors, use remedies, but above all, call on Jesus. The name of Jesus is the shortest, the easiest, the most powerful of all prayers. Our Lord tells us that anything we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, we shall receive. Every time we say Jesus, we are saying a fervent prayer for all we need. The souls in purgatory. It's very lamentable that so many Christians forget and neglect the souls in purgatory. It is possible that some of our dear friends are suffering in these dreadful fires, waiting for our prayers and help, which we could so easily give them and do not give them. We have pity for the poor whom we see in the streets, for the hungry, and for all those who suffer. None suffer so terribly as the souls in purgatory, for the fire of purgatory, as St. Thomas tells us, is the same as the fire of hell. How often, dear reader, do you pray for the holy souls? Days and weeks and perhaps months pass by, and you do little, perhaps nothing, for them. You can easily help them if you say frequently the name of Jesus. because you thus offer for them the precious blood and the suffering of Jesus Christ, as we've explained. Also, you gain every time you say Jesus 300 days indulgence. Having the custom of repeating often the holy name, you can, like St. Mactilde, relieve thousands of souls who will never cease praying for you with incredible fervor. We thank our friends most effusively for any little favor they do us, but we forget or neglect to thank God for His immense love of us, for becoming man for us, for dying for us, for all the masses we can hear and the holy communions we can receive and do not receive. What black ingratitude! By repeating often the name of Jesus, we correct this grave fault and thank God and give Him great glory and joy. Do you not wish to give joy to God? You do. Then, dear friend, thank God. He's waiting for your thanks. We have said that our Lord, in the dreadful sufferings of His passion, the agony in the garden, when He was hanging on the cross, saw us all and offered for each one every pang of pain, every drop of His precious blood. Can it be possible that God is so good that He thinks of each one, that He loves each of us so much? Our poor hearts and minds are small and mean and find it hard to believe that God can be so good, that He troubles Himself about us. But God, as He is omnipotent, as He is infinitely wise, He is also infinitely good and generous and loving. To understand how God thought of each one of us in the Passion, when He was hanging on the cross, we have only to remember what happens in the millions of holy communions received every day. God comes to each one of us with all the plenitude of the divinity. He enters into each one as fully and entirely as He is in heaven. He comes into each one as if that one were the only one who received Him that day. He comes with infinite personal love. That we all believe. And how does He enter into us? He does not merely come into our mouths, our hearts. He comes into our souls. He unites Himself to our soul so intimately that He becomes one with us. Let us think for a moment of how the great, almighty, eternal God is in our very soul in the most intimate possible way, that He is there with all His infinite love, that He remains there, not for a moment, but for 5, 10, or more minutes, and this not once, but every day, if we so wish. If we think and understand this, it will be easy to see how He offered all His merits and all His sufferings for each one. Now we come to the devil, the great, great evil, the great danger that threatens each of us every day and every night of our lives is the devil. St. Peter and St. Paul warn us in the strongest language to beware of the devil, for he is using all his tremendous power, his mighty intelligence, to ruin us, to harm, to hurt us in every way. There is no danger, no enemy in the world we have to fear as we should fear the devil. He cannot attack God, so he turns all his implacable hate and malice against us. We're destined to take the thrones he and the other angels have lost. This lashes him into wild fury against us. Many foolish, ignorant Catholics never think of this. They take no care to defend themselves, and so allow the devil to inflict on them infinite harm and cause them untold sufferings. Our best, our easiest remedy is the name of Jesus. It drives the devil flying from our sides and saves us from countless evils. Oh, dear readers, say constantly, this all-powerful name, and the devil can do you no harm. Say it in all dangers, in all temptations. Wake up if you've been asleep. Open your eyes to the terrible enemy who is ever seeking your ruin. Priests should preach frequently on this all-important subject. They should warn their penitents in the confessional against the devil. They counsel them to avoid bad companions who make them lead bad lives. Incomparably more dreadful is the influence of the devil on them. Teachers, catechists, and mothers should constantly warn their children against the devil. All their efforts will be only too little. We thus conclude The Wonders of the Holy Name by Father Paul O'Sullivan, O.P. Since God has granted us some tape space, we will continue with brief prayers of praise and adoration explained by Father Paul O'Sullivan. We exhort you, dear reader, to read with the closest attention this booklet on ejaculations. Nothing is easier, nothing more useful and profitable to us than these little prayers which we can say at every moment. Nothing will make us more happy. The custom of making short ejaculatory prayers is one of the surest ways of becoming both holy and happy. So far from being irksome, it fills our hearts and souls with a profound peace and joy. There are hundreds of moments in the day when we can, without difficulty, make these short, fervent, spontaneous prayers, which shoot up from our hearts to the throne of God in heaven and bring down on us showers of graces and blessings. These ejaculations should be made lovingly and joyfully, just as if we were speaking face to face to our Lord, as indeed we are. He hears even the smallest prayer or sigh we send up to Him. When we arise in the morning, the devil tries to snatch the first fruits of the day from God. Many foolish Christians lose these precious moments. The devil, ever on the watch to do us harm, fills our minds with useless, sad, futile thoughts, and strange, unthinking Christians never open their eyes to this deplorable fact. These first moments of the morning are perhaps the most valuable in the whole day, because if we use them as every Christian should, we secure for ourselves a happy day and the certain protection and blessing of God. They deliver us, too, from 1,000 dangers and evils. We take 20 minutes, or perhaps a half an hour, to wash and dress. What are we thinking of during these most precious minutes? We oftentimes think of something sad and disagreeable, something that happened yesterday, or else we're worrying about something that we have to do today. Our minds are filled with some trouble or annoyance that molests or threatens us. These moments are far from cheerful, far from holy, full of little worries. Instead, they should be full of joy and confidence in God. He has given us a new day. When little birds wake, they shake their wings and pour forth their joyous song of praise to their Maker. Surely we can do as much as these tiny songsters. All the time that we're washing and dressing, we should be pouring forth little prayers, chatting, as it were, with our sweet Lord, who is, as we've said, listening to us and loving us. There need be no effort. The prayers should flow spontaneously from our hearts. Is there any difficulty in saying them? None whatever. On the contrary, they fill us with new life and energy, and they banish those sad and depressing thoughts which make so many lives miserable. During the day, we can continue them countless times when walking or working or riding in cars, at home or in the streets, when changing our clothes to go out or after coming in, when waiting for anyone, but especially when inclined to be sad or cast down, when in fear of any difficulty or anxious to obtain any favor. There are busy men and women who are saying ejaculations hundreds and hundreds of times in the day. Why don't we do so? One day that we make ejaculations may get us more graces than we otherwise should get in a whole year. There are very many beautiful ejaculations, but we recommend more especially three for frequent use. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The first of these is the shortest and the most efficacious of all. It consists of one short word, Jesus. This we may repeat as often as we like. We have to add nothing, only repeat the one word, Jesus. St. Paul it is who recommends it in a most striking way. He tells us that each time we pronounce the word Jesus, we give the utmost joy and glory to the Eternal Father, to Mary, the Mother of Jesus, to all the angels and saints in heaven. Every time we say it, we receive most copious graces and benedictions. We drive the devil from our sides. We protect ourselves from all kinds of evils. He advises us to do everything we do in the name of Jesus. Each time we say this one word, we make an act of most perfect love and say a prayer so powerful that God cannot resist it, as our Lord himself told his apostles and the multitudes who surrounded him, "Everything you ask the Father in my name, you shall receive." What a promise! God cannot deceive us. God cannot give us a promise which he does not fulfill. God never exaggerates. Moreover, we gain, each time we pronounce the holy name of Jesus, 300 days indulgence, which we may offer for the holy souls. What hundreds of souls can we not thus take out of purgatory? And these will be our greatest friends in heaven. The meaning of Jesus is God made man. Every time we say this name, we offer to God the incarnation, passion, and death of Jesus Christ. We offer him all the masses being said all over the world, for the mass is Jesus born on the altar and dying on the altar as he died on Calvary. We do not offer a mere name. Each time we say Jesus, we offer God all the infinite merits of Jesus Christ. The apostles worked all their miracles and converted the world with the name of Jesus. St. Paul loved the name of Jesus most ardently. He wrote it more than 200 times in his epistles, not from necessity, but impelled by the purest love. A crippled man asked St. Peter for an alms. The great apostle lovingly answered, "Gold and silver I have none, but what I have I willingly give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." In an instant, the man leaped up and walked, to the amazement of all present. After the examples of St. Peter and Paul, the apostles and all the saints have ever cherished the greatest faith and confidence in the name of Jesus, and have worked the most astounding miracles simply by this one word, Jesus. St. Augustine tells us that he never cared for books if they did not speak of Jesus. The name of Jesus gave him immense delight. St. Bernard says the name of Jesus is like honey in my mouth. It fills my soul with peace and joy and love. St. Dominic and St. Francis of Assisi were filled with joy when they pronounced the name of Jesus, because they thought at once of all the love, the sweetness, and the mercy of Jesus. St. Francis de Sales experienced intense pleasure in repeating this name. He says, "Oh, how happy we shall be when dying if we have had the custom of constantly saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus during our lives." St. Leonard used to preach on the holy name with such fervor that tears came to the eyes of his listeners. He recommended them to constantly repeat it, to paint it on their doors, for it would preserve their homes from sickness and sorrow. Once a Jew refused to allow a Christian who lived with him to paint it on his door, so that the Christian had to be content to paint it on the windows. Sometime after, a fire broke out in the house and utterly destroyed everything until it reached the windows, which had the name of Jesus painted on them. Here it stopped and went no further. All the saints love to repeat the name of Jesus and place their confidence in it. Let us do likewise, and we too shall enjoy the powerful protection of Jesus. The following facts give ample proof of the irresistible power of the holy name. The Count of Armogasto, one of the principal lords in the court of Genseric, the king of the Vandals, refused to change his faith as the king wished him. The barbarian incensed at this refusal, ordered the count to be tortured most brutally, but in vain, for the martyr stood firm. As a final effort, his executioners bound him tightly with the strongest cords, causing him excruciating pain. He simply repeated the name of Jesus a few times, and the cords snapped as spider webs. The torture was renewed, and this time the cords used were made of the sinews of oxen and were sunk deep into the count's flesh by the brute force used to tighten them. Again the martyr repeated, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," and the sinews snapped and fell in pieces at his feet. He was next bound by the feet, swung into the air, and left hanging, head downward. Once more he repeated, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," and at once fell into a sweet and tranquil sleep, as though reclining on the softest bed. In the year 1861, D. Melchior, a Dominican bishop, was martyred in China in circumstances of the most appalling savagery. After having undergone many terrible sufferings, he was stripped of his garments, surrounded by five brawny executioners, each armed with a hatchet, having teeth like a saw. With these, they began to hew the bishop to pieces, bit by bit. First, they hacked off one leg slowly, piece by piece, with 12 dreadful blows. Then the other leg, then one arm, then the second, then his flesh. After this, they tore out his intestines. During this indescribable and prolonged torture, the bishop kept on repeating with the utmost calm and serenity, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Not even once in his awful agonies did he cry out or groan, or even show by any contraction of his face the extremity of his pains, so that all who looked on were lost in amazement. We might add many other equally striking examples of the divine power of the name of Jesus, but we cannot content ourselves with one more fact which served to establish love and confidence in the holy name in the whole country for several centuries. During the reign of the famous King John I of Portugal, a virulent plague broke out all over the country. It raged with the utmost fury in the city of Lisbon. Thousands and thousands of men, women, and children were swept off. Men rose in the morning and were dead before night. Some died at table when eating their meals. Some died in the streets. Priests, doctors, infirmarians died in such numbers that few were left to attend the dying or bury the dead. Those who died in the streets laid unburied. Amongst the most arduous helpers of the sick was Fray Andre Dias, a Dominican bishop, then resident in Lisbon. He labored all day and late into the night. Nothing could abate his zeal. But even he lost hope in human aid when he saw that the plague was ever on the increase. Instead, therefore, he placed his trust in the name of Jesus, to which he was very devout. He went around the streets, entered the houses, spoke with unexampled faith and confidence of the power of the name of Jesus. He inflamed the hearts, not only of those who were well, but of the sick and the dying, with love and trust in the holy name. He told the people to say constantly, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He bade them write it on cards and carry these in their pockets, nail them on their doors and in every room of the house. When he had filled their sorrowing hearts with faith and confidence in the name of Jesus, he called on all to come to the great church of St. Dominic. There he said solemn mass in honor of the name of Jesus and preached with a burning eloquence never heard before on the power of this most holy name. He blessed a great quantity of water in the name of Jesus and told the people to sprinkle with it those who were sick, to dip their handkerchiefs in the water and bathe the foreheads of those dying in the streets, and to carry it to their homes. He solemnly promised them that if they called on the name of Jesus with faith, and if they used this blessed water, Jesus, in his infinite mercy, would deliver them from the awful plague. They did as he commanded, and in a few days the pest completely disappeared. Great then was the love and trust awakened in the hearts of the people for the blessed name of the Savior. For long centuries this burning love for the holy name continued in all Portugal. Only in 1834, when the religious orders, as well as many other good priests, were expelled, did this glorious devotion almost fade from the memory of the Portuguese people. God in his mercy, however, raised up a new apostle in the United States of America, a Dominican, where the grand old devotion of Portugal was, as it were, transplanted and took firm root. Very soon, the association of the Holy Name spread through every part of the great American Republic. The bishops themselves, seeing the wonderful results wrought by it, became each in his own diocese the head or president of the association, to which, because of its extraordinary importance, the Holy Father gave a special cardinal protector, whose duty it is to stimulate, conjointly with the bishops, love and confidence in the name of Jesus. The American government, though in the main Protestant, looks on this famous association as a bulwark of American life and order, so much so that the President of the United States, though a Protestant, attended the annual reunion in person and gave unstinted praise to the magnificent work done by the Holy Name Society. So powerful and energetic is this society that it has more than 2 million members, men of every age and profession, lawyers, doctors, professors, workmen, sailors, soldiers, policemen. When America entered the Great War and the President called for conscripts, no less than 500,000 members of the Holy Name Sodality joined the army. No soldiers gave proof of more heroic courage simply because they were filled with the true spirit of patriotism and their lives were so pure that death had no fears for them. The great resolution that we beg every reader of these pages to make is the resolution proposed by St. Paul and by all the saints to repeat constantly every day of our lives in all troubles, fears, doubts, and difficulties hundreds of times every day, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If we do so, we shall surely become holy and become happy. To pronounce once the name of Jesus is a perfect act of love, an irresistible prayer. What then will it be if we say it hundreds and hundreds of times every day? Here you have the secret of immense happiness in your hands. The second ejaculation we recommend is, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in you. These few words, repeated frequently during the day, place us under the immediate and personal protection of our Lord. We are in his hands. No evil can harm us. Firstly, he revealed to St. Gertrude that those who say this little prayer fill his sacred heart with joy. What a consolation for anyone to know that he fills the heart of Jesus with pleasure. Secondly, he gives them, each time they say it, a special and a great grace. Thirdly, they gain each time 300 days indulgence, which they can give to the souls in purgatory. In recent years, he spoke to that most privileged and holy soul, Benigna Consolata, and told her that by repeating these words, we gave him the greatest possible pleasure in our power. There's no better way of practicing devotion to his Sacred Heart than by repeating this little prayer frequently. We can, by practice, repeat it hundreds and hundreds of times in the day, and it ought to be our intention to say it with the love and confidence of the Blessed Mother of God herself. Then, indeed, it becomes of immense value. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in you. The third ejaculation, which we recommend, is Jesus, Mary, Joseph. This short prayer is so powerful that whereas the Church grants 300 days indulgence to other ejaculations, it grants 3,000 days to this one. Each time we say these three words, we place ourselves under the protection of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We ask Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to deliver us from all evils and sins. We ask them for all the beautiful virtues of peace, prudence and gladness which they practiced in Nazareth. We ask them most especially for the grace of a happy death. As in the case of the others, we should strive to say this short and most efficacious prayer every moment of the day, nothing we can do is calculated to obtain for us greater peace and happiness. We have recommended these ejaculations more especially as they are short and easy and are more commonly in use. But there are many other beautiful ejaculations which we can also say with the greatest utility. Thy will be done. This short prayer we say every time we recite the Our Father, and we should lay special stress on the words, Thy will be done. No act is so important as to do the will of God. Every time we do the will of God, whether in small things or in great, we are doing the most perfect thing we can possibly do. St. Francis de Sales says that to wish to do the will of God is of unspeakable merit. He lays down the following doctrine which must fill the coldest heart with comfort. He says that if an ordinary Christian learns from the priest or the doctor that he's dying, and that if he accepts death with resignation because it's God's will, he may go straight to heaven. Why? Because death is the penalty God gave us for sin. It is the greatest of all penalties, the destruction of our life, the rending apart of the body from the soul, and at the same time, it is the holiest and most meritorious of all penances. Pope Pius X seems to have had this doctrine in mind when he granted a plenary indulgence at the hour of death to those who say one day after communion this short prayer, O my God, from this moment forward, I accept with a joyful and resigned heart the death you will be pleased to send me, with all its pains, sufferings, and anguish. Though the Holy Father grants a plenary indulgence if this prayer be said once, still it is advisable to say it after every Holy Communion. It takes only a moment and is of great merit. We should wish to do the will of God in everything we do. It would be madness not to do so, because God's will is the very best thing for us. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like to thine. This short prayer will most certainly obtain for us two great virtues, the most necessary of all virtues for our daily lives, humility and patience. Humility is completely misunderstood by a vast number of Christians. They think that it's a painful and disagreeable virtue, a virtue repugnant to human nature. This is the gravest error anyone could make. It is the most beautiful of virtues, and the one that makes us thoroughly and profoundly happy. God loves the humble. He can refuse them nothing. He hates the proud and refuses them everything. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Our Lord revealed to St. Gertrude that this short prayer gives him such immense joy that when a devout Christian repeats it, he turns to his eternal Father and offers the infinite merits of his incarnation for that person. Who will not frequently repeat this wonderful prayer, sure of obtaining such a reward? The custom of making ejaculations is of such transcendent importance that all saints practiced it and raised themselves to an eminent height of sanctity by its means. They urge us to follow their example, so easy and simple, and assure us that we too shall receive the greatest graces. The reasons they give are manifest. Nothing is easier. The weakest and most timid of men can make ejaculations. We lose no time, because we make these little ejaculations in the hundreds of free moments we all have during the day, or even at night when we cannot sleep. Every ejaculation, no matter how short, can be an act of perfect love, a most efficacious prayer. For example, the shortest of all prayers, the one word, Jesus, is so powerful that God cannot resist it. It may, and often has, worked great miracles. Every ejaculation gives great pleasure to God, obtains great graces for us, and by reason of the indulgences attached to it, gives relief to the souls in purgatory. By ejaculations, we keep ourselves ever in the presence of God. We secure his protection and obey the command of our Lord to pray always. These ejaculations obtain for us the profoundest consolations. They are most particularly useful to the sick, who have to pass long hours lying down, unable to work or amuse themselves. Above all, they secure for us a holy and a happy death. From this we see that ejaculatory prayer is of the most vital importance. The difficulty in making ejaculations is that the devil, who well knows the glory that we give to God and the innumerable graces that we shall ourselves receive by their means, will do all in his power to prevent our saying them. He will try to make us relax our efforts. Therefore, we should spare no pains to acquire the custom of saying them every day and many times in the day. To help us to remember them, we should, at the end of our morning prayers, renew our resolve to make them without fail during the day, and at night ask ourselves how many times we've made them. No sacrifice is too great for the acquiring of this habit. Once acquired, we shall find our hearts full of joy and consolation. When can we say ejaculations? Always, hundreds of times in the day, when dressing in the morning, when working, when waiting for anything, at home, in the streets, when walking or driving, especially when sad and troubled. One day that we say these ejaculations has the value of 1,000 days. Far from tiring us, they fill us with peace, joy, and happiness. Thus we conclude with brief prayers of praise and adoration by Father Paul O'Sullivan. We trust and pray that this tape has been very helpful, inspiring, and interesting for you. Please listen to it often and pray for those who made this tape available to you.